to the near post. Messi to the net. Mamma mia! Lionel! Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, you tell me today, did you want the Columbus Crew to win the MLS Cup Final? Well, they did.
Awful driven cross, Sardis, De La Rayon, it's in! De La Rayon! Columbus take the lead! Crawling out, Awful's cross, O'Neill stooping low, De La Rayon! Gonna go up across, Etienne! 2-0 Columbus! Luis Diaz able to out to a Brad Smith. Can they slam the door? Luis Diaz, De La Rayon! The Crew have been saved, and the Crew, for a second time in their history, have won MLS Cup.
Big for Caleb Porter, big for the Columbus Crew. 3-0 winners in that one over the Seattle Sounders. By the way, dominating first 45 minutes. We're going to talk about this tonight. Welcome into the show, everybody. Aaron, you survived the legendary Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman again?
Of course I did.
Yeah, until Friday when you have to do the shots of that vicious rock gut. Some of that stuff you guys drink is pretty brutal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's never good. The goal is not to be good alcohol that we're drinking. But luckily, they'll be out in Beaumont on – well, Fred will be out in Beaumont on Friday. AJ will be on the road on his way up to Oregon for the holiday. So I don't actually have to do anything at least for a week.
Yeah, when I listen to that, I sometimes laugh because that's real firewater that's being knocked back there. That's why I'm still in the home studio, too. I definitely am not walking through there around that time on a Friday.
Oh, you know you want to. You might have to be a guest of honor here in a couple months.
Yeah, it might kill me. All right, appreciate everything the great Aaron Raybould does behind the glass here tonight. So we got a great show in store. Juan Agudelo of Inter Miami will be on the program tonight. Josh Wolf of Austin FC. You want to keep an eye on what Austin is doing because we will have now three Major League Soccer teams in the state of Texas. Arch Bell from Orlando, Florida. Now, in Orlando, Florida, you have CONCACAF Champions League going on. Right now, you have Racing and Boca Juniors in the CONMEBOL Copa Libertadores. By the way, Leonel Miranda, remember that name? 26 years of age. He's wearing number 19 in midfield, and he's playing for Racing. Starter. Just saw him tackle Carlos Tevez a few minutes ago. So right now that game is 0-0 in the 33rd minute. That's the first leg of two legs because they delayed it because of the passing of Diego Maradona. So they're trying to play a little bit of a catch-up. And Racing is now threatening and just nearly almost scored. And Lifetime has a better record against Boca Juniors, which maybe a lot of people would know. It's the 70th all-time meeting for these two teams. Call in number 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN 975. Show is always brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They are our presenting sponsors. We thank them very much for getting soccer on the air. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, every morning I wake up thinking about soccer. I don't know if that's healthy, but the first thing that comes in my mind when I wake up, 99.9% of the time, is soccer. Okay, for whatever that's worth. It may not be a good thing to advertise. 713-780-3776. So do you prefer the UEFA Champions League, CONMEBOL Copa Libertadores, or the CONCACAF Champions League? Which out of these leagues do you prefer most, and tell me why? I know where a lot of people may go, but tell me why. Do you prefer UEFA Champions League, CONMEBOL Copa Libertadores, or CONCACAF Champions League? 713-780-3776. We lost two giants in the game. Gerard Houllier, the former coach of Liverpool, recently passing away, and we do have some sound on Gerard Houllier.
It's a really sad day for me personally. In the under 19 game, Steve Iwe asked me to go and see a player from the playing on the right. The guy who caught my eye that day was Steven Gerrard. And he was in the middle of the park, going from box to box, tackling, shouting, showing some leadership quality despite his young age. So I decided to take him with me the next day.
So that was a pretty interesting quote there from Gerard Houllier. He passes away at age 73. He's talking about going to a game and seeing Steven Gerrard, who would obviously, that was some great talent assessing, because Gerrard would go on to be the legendary player for Liverpool. By the way, he started in 1998 at Liverpool. He was a joint manager with Roy Evans, another Liverpool legend. 98 to 2004, he was the coach of Liverpool before a couple of years at Lyon, and then I think back with Aston Villa for a cup of coffee in 2010. And 11. So rest in peace, Gerrard Houllier. Did some magnificent things in the game of football, and also was the French national team coach for a short time. We also lost the legendary Italian Paolo Rossi. 1982 World Cup. Now, this was a guy that was controversially put on the Italian national team by Enzo Bergeot. And there was a lot of pushback into him being included on this team because he had been banned from the game for alleged match fixing, which he always refuted. And there was an interesting thing. He was not allowed to play in FIFA. He actually came to the United States and for a short period, very short period, was training with like a Buffalo indoor team in the United States. He would play in that 82 World Cup. He would score 6 goals. He would become the face of that World Cup. Italy would win it. He'd hit for a hat trick in the legendary quarterfinal 3-2 win over Brazil. He would then score 2 against Poland in the semifinals, and then 1 in the final where the Italians beat West Germany 3-1. So all 6 of his goals came in the knockout stages. Absolutely remarkable. We do, I believe, have a Paolo Rossi goal call, courtesy of Victor Ariza, don't we, Aaron?
Rummenigge went in first. Here's Gentile. That's a dangerous ball. And a goal! And that incredible man was there again. Paolo Rossi.
That incredible man again. Was that the Claudio Gentile, a part of an attack there? Remember, he's the one who put a beat down on Diego Maradona. He was brutal. He was a butcher. 713-780-3776 is the call-in number. Liverpool today, 2-1 winners over Spurs. Stoppage time goal. It comes in dramatic fashion. Firmino. Salah and Son had traded goals. It was 1-1 at that point. Now, Jose Mourinho, excuse me, as always, setting up his team deep to be the antagonists. At the final whistle, Mourinho and Jurgen Klopp had an exchange. And Mourinho, you could tell it wasn't necessarily a good thing. You could see that Mourinho was saying, basically came out and admitted, he said, quote, the better team lost. And then he went on to criticize Jurgen Klopp, the sideline annex and behavior. I'd love to hear from some Liverpool fans or some Spurs fans, because we do have two supporters groups in this town. The better team lost. That's debatable. Certainly that's what Jose Mourinho thought. But again, it's a deep defending team. They're antagonists and they're not protagonists. So they'll never be the better team for me, just simply because of the way they choose to play the game under Mourinho. I think deeper defending teams, again, being the antagonist and not the protagonist in games. Sure, you know who loves playing in deep defending teams? Center backs that don't move that well anymore. That's about it. The guys who have lost a step or two or not most fleet of foot, they love playing in deeper defending teams. I'm a firm believer that it's far easier to put together deeper defending teams, counterattacking teams, That's why I love that Todd Ramos is trying to play a 4-3-3 system, and hopefully he's going to get the pieces to do it in year two. He could easily have reverted back to being a deep defending team. But guess what? Wilmer Cabrera did that for the Houston Dynamo. Tried to play a pressing game and elected to pull off it totally. That was the aim in the beginning with Kyoto and Elise. And I don't think he was able to get them to do the defensive side of it and the pressuring. So then it turned into a counterattacking team, and it reaped short-term benefits. It did not reap long-term benefits. You know, remember, Kyoto, Elise, and Minotas, you know, they looked like horses that got out of the barn at times. It was reckless. It was fun. That was the one year that we got to the Western Conference Final, the Houston Dynamo. But it's one playoffs in 7 years. And I think we have to put the fans and their feelings in the context of that as well. And if you do remember, and I've said this a lot, just winning that year and winning at home and winning a lot and winning, scoring a lot of exciting goals. You could argue that's the most exciting version of the Houston Dynamo ever at BBVA Stadium. In fact, I would go to the bank with that. That would be my most exciting team ever in BBVA Stadium after the move. The most exciting version of the Houston Dynamo was 2007 that got to the Western Conference Finals and had these two highly athletic wide guys that could fly, because the teams before that lacked athleticism. Let me rephrase that. Lacked pace in attack, okay? Not athleticism. That's not true at all, because there were some amazing players on those teams. But that arguably was the most exciting team. I don't think any question. But it was short term. So 2-1 Liverpool win today. They're at the top of the table now. Michael Owen comes out, the former great England striker, and I agree with him 100%. And I remember when Mourinho got the job, I just said, you watch and see what happens to Harry Kane, Dele Alli, and some of these guys, because they are going to turn into guys that are not going to like the way the system is working and being played. Now, I know they're getting results. Michael Owen comes out and says, Harry Kane must be frustrated at Spurs. Now, if you watch the game today, Harry Kane's almost playing like a number 10. He's dropping off deeper. He's playmaking more. He doesn't get the crosses that he wants. And I don't think he's a guy that's enjoying playing in this system. And the great pro that he is, he's probably not making any bones about it. He certainly isn't in the public because he's a model professional, Harry Kane. But he can't be having fun. If the winds start to go away again, you might see some friction there. Now, Michael Owen also made a very interesting point, and he did say that he can't be having fun, but then he said, as his career continues, Kane, as he gets older and older, maybe he is going to be a withdrawn forward and doing a bit more playmaking, which is kind of fascinating to consider. Copa Libertadores, I mentioned it, Boca Juniors rossing in action right now in Copa Libertadores. We're in the 43rd minute, 0-0 scoreline there. Again, Leonel Miranda of the Houston Dynamo is wearing number 19 if you tune in and if you have been or you're watching it. Not sure if it's on Tudani. I don't think so. No, it's BN Sports. River tomorrow holding a 2-0 aggregate lead against Nacional. Santos and Palmeiras have advanced to the semis. CONCACAF Champions League has gotten underway. Atlanta and Club America. Club America holds a 3-0 aggregate lead in that one. The nightcap game is the one to really keep an eye on tonight, and that's Cruz Azul against LAFC. That will be at 9:30 Central Time. That's the game to watch. Right now, Atlanta United's playing Club America. I mean, so much good soccer on right now. It's hard to even keep up with it. I mean, if you wanted a day of soccer watching today, you could have watched two Premier League games and then joined in on CONCACAF Champions League and Copa Libertadores. Cruz Azul, as we all know, imploded against Pumas. Everybody thought that they had a wonderful chance to win the Liga MX title. Their fans have suffered. They had a 4-0 goal aggregate lead against Pumas, only to be beaten 4-0 and get eliminated. Robert Ciboldi stepped down. So what shows up for Cruz Azul tonight against LAFC? Rossi and Vela expected to start. Jesus Corona and two others have tested positive for Cruz Azul. There is a little concern around Brian Rodriguez and his form. After he contracted COVID while in Uruguay, he stayed there until about a week ago. This is an interesting one. LAFC hasn't played a game in 3 weeks. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that we don't know that is going on with these teams. What shows up for Cruz Azul tonight? Wow. Because they did not look prideful when they got knocked off by Pumas. So then the semifinals will be on Saturday. Tigres and Olimpia will be one of them. Tigres will be the heavy favorite in that. But it is single elimination. If you're ever going to upset anybody, it's in single elimination. Then December 22nd is the final. So you've got all of that to look forward to. And you've got this 9:30 game tonight to look forward to. And right now this Boca Racing game is a very good, highly contested, highly competitive game. I love Copa Libertadores. There is a different edge down there. There's just something different about it to me. It's almost slightly dangerous that I like, edgy, as opposed to the Champions League, which I also love, of course. Which league do you like the best? Champions League in Europe, UEFA, Copa Libertadores in South America, CONMEBOL, or CONCACAF Champions League? Somebody may like the CONCACAF Champions League simply because it's the part of the world where you watch most of your games. Major League Soccer, Liga MX. 713-780-3776 is the number to call. 713-780-3776. The draw has been set. Also, for the Champions League knockout stage, which in Gladbach and Manchester City, Lazio, Bayern. I love this one. Atletico and Chelsea. RB Leipzig and Liverpool. Porto, Juventus. Cristiano Ronaldo going back against his old team. By the way, I heard he missed a penalty today. Barcelona, PSG. Most people are going to that simply because of Neymar and Lionel Messi. That's not the most desired game for me. I don't know what it is for you. I like Sevilla and Dortmund as well. And then there's Atalanta and Real Madrid. Now, again on the show tonight, Arch Bell from Orlando, a writer for Marca and CONCACAF. He will join us. He'll give it to us straight from down in Orlando. We will have Juan Agudelo on later. Juan Agudelo, you know, sometimes you get interviews in interesting ways. Juan Agudelo, his wife and family have a home here in Houston. He's been coming here, and he plays a lot of indoor soccer. So it's funny how you get interviews sometime, but had a great conversation with him both prior to the interview and after, and really looking forward to running that interview with you today. Now, by the way, he's a free agent. Is that somebody the Dynamo would be looking at? Or Kevin Molina? Before we go to break here, and this is beautiful break music. It's In Excess. One of the great bands I saw in concert. Absolutely loved them. So I'm at the Astro Arena. Quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. I've leased, I bought from Advantage numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. I drive an X5, I can throw the bike in the back, the dog in there. The other thing I love is at Advantage BMW, the customer service, second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered. Sales, service, finance, it can be done so easy. Remember, it's Advantage BMW in Midtown. That's the place you want to buy your BMW. By the way, that X5, 23 hours to New Jersey to stand outside and talk to my parents, social distanced. Unbelievable vehicle to drive up there. In fact, if there wasn't a snowstorm, I might take off this weekend. Take a break. In Excess takes you there.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
I appreciate that from Adam Lundquist. By the way, he was protected by Tab Ramos and the Houston Dynamo. We can talk some Dynamo now. And by the way, the phone lines are going to be open in the next two segments, 713-780-3776. Our next guest is brought to you by NB Elite Realty. Real estate agents, are you tired of paying commission splits to your brokers? At NB Elite Realty, you get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. You also there's also low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, no hidden fees. It's nbelitereality.com, 844-444-NBER for more information on how to join the winning team. Don't wait. Start your journey to financial freedom today with NB Elite Realty. By the way, that's Nebo Bandovic, the former goal scorer for the Houston Hotshots. Scored a bunch of goals in the Summit back in the old days. By the way, 94... he was there. That's when I started my, TV career. That's when I had my first opportunity. And I will tell you, I was not very good. The next guy, though, jumped into TV in the booth with me, and he was pretty good right from the start. The name, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson, joins us.
All right, what's up, Eddie? Glenn?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You're pretty generous to me. I thought I was absolutely crap when I started my TV career.
Well, there's one thing people know, that you are, yes, brutally honest. You know, we've had a lot of fun calling the games. And, you know, we went from traveling to doing studio stuff. And now that you're into it deeper now, I guess, how long have we done it? 7 or 8 years maybe together? That's hard to believe.
No, we just finished year number 9.
My gosh. Well, 9 years of doing this with me. Number one, good job you were able to put up with me. But number two, what do you like about it now that you have, you know, this body of work from that's behind you?
I like the fact that you and I have worked together so much. I know when to shut up when something happens, and you lead me into things, and we both see the game and think about what needs to be said and what needs to be addressed in the same way. I think we have a great chemistry. But I think the thing I love the most about it is being able to, in real time, ask Dynamo fans or any other people that are watching that game to look at something other than the soccer ball. Because if you think about it, most people just watch the ball. But the way that the game is now, the way that camera operators and directors and producers look at it and see it, you get a lot wider angles. You get to see a lot more what the players are doing when they don't have the ball. So when we get those opportunities to address something a player is doing off the ball, I think that really helps the fans, and it almost makes us teachers. And there's nothing I love more than good feedback, seeing somebody in public or, you know, seeing something on Twitter that you or I, you know, wow, that was a really good point they just made. I didn't even think about that. And now for the rest of their soccer watching life, they're going to see that, and they're going to look at that, and that's just something that we got to teach them, and we were fortunate enough to say that we did. So those are the things that I really enjoy about doing it.
Yeah, tremendous platform, and it is one that carries a lot of responsibility. There's no question about that. And I like your point about that people focus on the ball because it is a spatial game. There's 21 other players that do things in order to pull apart and break apart opposing defenses and break apart team shape and all those other wonderful things. So, you know, that's funny you say that because I was watching the Wolves game 2 days ago, and a young American national team player just got a few minutes against, I believe it was Wales, Owen Atasoe. And the guys, Paul LePage of the Wolves supporters group in Houston, told me about this kid and said, oh, there's this kid in the academy or the reserve team that's really doing a lot. Well, he came in the game, and all I did was watch him. I just wanted to watch how he moved, how he handled the pressure, and it was – to your point, all I did was focus on him. I did not watch anything else, just where he went, where he moved in relation to the ball, how he worked with his teammates, all those other things. And it's absolutely fascinating. You get a really good sense of a player. And, of course, this kid's only 19. But let's get into the Columbus Crew. 3-0 winners in the MLS Cup final over Seattle. Big day for Lucas Zelarayán. How about some of your initial thoughts on the Columbus win?
If you tell me, if you're anything but a Seattle Sounder fan, you tell me you expected anything less than a Columbus Crew win, you're out of your mind. I mean, the way that this team has gelled this year, the way that this team has played this year, the attitude, the personalities of these players. I mean, gosh, I mean, have you heard of the goalkeeper room prior to this year? I hadn't. And given the fact, for as hard as I follow this league and as much as we're in it, I hadn't heard of them. You know, Jonathan Minta had a fantastic year in the back. Then you add Zeller Ryan. He's just gotten better with every single game. And, you know, obviously it seems like he reached his peak in the MLS Cup final. And then, you know, you've got Giassi Zardes up front, who is, you know, is seasoned as they come. So the moment was never too big for any of them. And then you look at Seattle, who's been in the MLS Cup final, for three of the last four years. You know, this is going to be a good one. You've got two really experienced coaches. And I saw some articles, people were blaming Brian Schmetzer for getting his tactics wrong. I don't know that there's anything Seattle could have done on that night to defeat that motivated Columbus team playing at that stadium for what is the last time, the first MLS Cup in that stadium in 2001 I was a part of. I felt very fortunate. And just to see that stadium and those fans who fought so hard to keep that team when Anthony Precourt wanted to move them, it just felt right. And you felt bad for Seattle for as good as they are. And Jordan Morris has come back from injury. He's had a great season. And Nico Ladero, you can't be a soccer fan and not love Nicolas Ladero. His heart, his attitude, just quality alone. And it was such a fun game to watch. And it's rare that I watch an MLS game and there's not a player or a coach that I played against or a fan base or somebody that I'm just not rooting against deep down inside. So I hold grudges when it comes to that stuff a little bit, but I don't usually tell anybody. But that game, it was fun to watch, and I really enjoyed what Columbus did. And I'm interested to see what their mentality is coming back next year, because they're not one of your LAFCs, your LA Galaxies, your Seattle Sounders, your Portland Timbers, your NYCFCs, your Atlanta United. Those the big dogs, I think, right now of Major League Soccer. So it's going to be interesting to see what their ownership does and how they address this offseason. If they get somebody to go out and partner with Zeller Ryan or with Zardes up front, because if they do, look out.
Well, the other thing is they have a brand new stadium. So it's this is the perfect prelude into going into this brand new stadium that's going to be down by the Columbus Blue Jackets Arena, if I'm correct. And, you know, you've played at Crew Stadium a bunch. I've called countless games there. So I think it's going to be exciting. I'm going to tell you one of my keys to this game was Giassi Zardes, and I'll tell you why. And I was a little surprised that more of our contemporaries didn't pick this out and really talk about this a lot. Whenever the ball was lost, he quickly got into midfield as a fifth midfielder. He worked his tail off in this game. He went back. He defended set pieces. He was an absolute animal. And that's pretty selfless from your leading goal scorer, right? Who's basically told on a day that you got to become a defensive player and be selfless and dedicated to doing the defending because, and I think this was the stroke of brilliance, because you didn't want Zeller Ryan doing all that tracking and running. You wanted him fresh for the magical moments, and he came up with three magical moments.
He sure did. And, you know, I'll add another element to why Giassi Zardes might have seen another side of him. What is Caleb Porter telling him? If you want to get in the national team, look at all these young kids over in Europe that are part of the United States national team. You're going to have to do extra. You're going to have to show Greg Berhalter that not only are you good going forward and you can score goals and you make great runs in the box, but you've got to track back. You've got to work harder than those young guys do. You've got to show that you're a leader. And all those things that you said, and I think if you add that on top of it, Giassi Zardes, even though he's getting a little bit older, he wants to be part of this U.S. national team that's everybody's so excited about, that everybody's talking about how young it is. And it's, like you said, the word selfless, and I'll go back and I'll talk about the San Jose Earthquake teams that I played on from 01 to 05 and then especially 06 to 2011. And then after I retired, the 2012 MLS Cup final, they lost. You talk about selfless teams. And, you know, you get into these selfish teams, you talk about, look at the star power that PSG has. How many times have they won the Champions League? Right? You can have all the big names in the world that you want, but if the good, great players don't work as hard as the mediocre or slightly less than great players work, you're never going to win games. You're not going to win championships. And that was a perfect example. You talk about Gyasi Zardes, and that's maturity. That's the maturity that he's shown, that when he was younger, he didn't care. And maybe it was his ego, and you know that happens to a lot of young professional athletes who are hyped up, but now he's put that crap aside, and he wants to win, and guess what? He did. Now he's got a ring. So I think it's a great message, not just to Major League Soccer fans, the fan base, but young players everywhere, that if you put the work in on both sides of the ball, you're going to succeed.
Yeah, I thought he was exceptional. And, you know, the other thing that you factor in there, too, is because going into this game, you did not have Pedro Santos and you did not have Darlington Nagbe, who is arguably the best all-around, you know, complete box-to-box midfielder in the league. You could make that argument. So there's maybe another reason. But I thought he was spectacular. I loved their attitude coming out. I never thought for a second, Eddie, that they were not going to come out and be aggressive, because I think when you make those two changes and you're at home and it's your fans and it's your moment, you believe, I don't think you're going to step off of Seattle and allow them to gain confidence and get the ball to Lodeiro and company. And by the way, he was a ghost in the first half. He never got on the ball in the first half.
And that never happens. How often has that happened? You can probably count on the one hand in his entire career in Major League Soccer. I mean, times that's happened. But you just felt like going into it, even without Pedro Santos and Darlington Nagbe, that it was just meant to be, given the situation around the stadium and the team. And it just seemed like it was meant to be. And, you know, there was one of those online Twitter polls. Who's going to win MLS Cup? Is it going to be Seattle or Columbus? I don't even hesitate. I'm push Columbus. I mean, it just seems meant to be. So, you know, congratulations to them, and well-deserved. And I'm really interested to see what they do in the offseason and how they respond next year, because now they're the top dogs and everybody's going to come at them with everything they got. That was the one thing that we always enjoyed after being champions in 06 and 07. We knew that no matter who we played, they were going to give us everything they had and that we couldn't let off. And you love getting everybody's best.
Talking to Eddie Robinson, former Houston Dynamo defender, also 9 years now in television as a color analyst for the Dynamo as well. And I've been having a lot of fun, Eddie and I, over the years, bringing commentary to Dynamo games. And it's meant a lot to both of us, and we hope it's meant a lot to those who've listened in. So any thoughts on the current Dynamo right now after looking at the protected and unprotected list? And obviously nobody was taken by Austin FC. The Dynamo have two DP slots after moving on Mauro Minotas now. So there is some opportunity here to do some things. And we did hear that, you know, Matt Jordan and Tab saying they want to reinvest these assets into, you know, a striker and some other areas of the team.
Well, they're going to have to. They're absolutely going to have to. And I know Mauro didn't have the best year last year, but when you look at his career as a whole, that there's no doubt that he's going to continue to score goals. And I was pretty disappointed in that. You know, and I've learned with the Houston Dynamo that, you know, you'll hear rumors here and there about anything and everything. You hear every rumor under the sun about Matt Jordan, what was going to happen, but you just don't believe it till you see it. So now that the Dynamo have brought him back, it's going to be interesting to see how they go forward with the team. They need defenders. They need a striker, and they need some defenders. I mean, Kiki Struna towards the end of the year was extremely disappointing. His attitude, his quality when he did play. I was a bit surprised Alejandro Fuenmayor didn't play more, because we had seen him, and Tab Ramos had talked about, you know, getting the team younger and making the team younger. And I'll tell you this, when the protected list came out, and I didn't see Marcelo Palomino's name, I gasped. And then after about 15 seconds, I realized, oh, yeah, he's a homegrown.
You figured out the rules.
Because that was a scary one for me, because I can tell Dynamo fans right now, only having seen him get, what, maybe 20 to 30 minutes of league action this year, he's the real deal. He's going to be a very, very good player. I mean, he's, what, 17, and he never looked out of place, ever. Looked very calm, very comfortable in the midfield. I think that's one that the Dynamo fans can be extremely excited about. But, you know, now that Albert Elias is gone and now that Mauro Minotas is gone, the Dynamo, they absolutely 100% have to find someone that they can count on to score at least 15 to 20 goals next season. If they don't, then they got to get really strong at defending, and because they're going to have to get a lot of shutouts if they're going to win a lot of games, because I just don't see where the goals are going to come from right now. And I hope that, you know, maybe Ariel Lassiter proved me wrong. Nico Hansen now feels a little more confident because he's going to get some more minutes. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm very interested to see how these things go. And again, if I'm Matt Jordan, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, there's rumors that Gabriel Brenner, the ownership, they want to sell the team. I don't know. I have no idea. So don't tweet me after this and ask what the deal is, because I have no idea. I haven't spoken to any of those guys. So if I'm Matt Jordan, I'm thinking to myself, I need a good year, because new ownership comes in and all they're going to think about is, okay, he and Todd Ramos just made the playoffs. They won the first round playoff game. They finished fifth in the Eastern or the Western Conference. This is somebody that we might want to keep around, and he can, you know, he can get some real longevity out of it if the team does get sold. If it doesn't get sold, maybe he does well enough. He and Tab do well enough to encourage Gabriel Brenner to keep him around. So I think he's got a chance, and if he can get this right, and you know, make sure the Dynamo make the playoffs, but not just squeak into the playoffs. You know, finish up, you know, top five or six in the Western Conference, then, you know, the fans are going to be happy, because that's the one thing right now. If the product on the field is
Eddie, hold that thought. Can you hold that thought? Can you sit through one more segment with me? Do you have time?
Yeah.
Do you want to
sit
through another segment? Okay, let's continue on the Dynamo. I have some sound to play when we come back. I want to come back to you on some of that stuff that you just mentioned, and let's keep this conversation going. Anybody wants to join in with it, 713-780-3776. Show is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm also sponsors our show up in Austin, which is on the horn up there, and that's DaspitLawAustin.com. Gary Newman is going to take you to break. We're going to come back. More Eddie Robinson when we return.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Not bad when you get a Mexican national team player to intro your show. This is Steve Earle. Song called New York City, did with the Super Suckers. This song gets pumping. One quick thing here. AC Milan, 28 points. Inter Milan, 27. Juventus, 24. And then Napoli and Sassuolo on 23. You got a heck of a race in the Italian Serie A. If you got ESPN and can watch this. Today, Juventus dropped points. Inter won 1-0 against Napoli through a Lukaku goal. So, I mean, you got a race in Italy. I mean, it's fantastic. All right. Here's Matt Jordan, I believe, on reinvesting transfer fee into the Minotas transfer fee into new players.
Yeah, I mean, every indication we have from ownership is that we can reinvest. I think now it's time to be careful and build a little bit the foundation of the club first, so that we make sure that at the moment we're ready to invest, that we're investing in the right player and the one area that we need the most. At the time being, we're not desperate with that. We're more focus on sort of rebuilding the foundation of who we want to be here long term.
Okay, so my apologies. That was Todd Ramos. So I correct myself. I give myself a yellow card. Eddie, continue on with your thoughts, and if you want to weave in that from Tab, you can as well.
Yeah, no, I was just going on to say, you know, I was going to address the rebrand, if you want to call it that, of Houston Dynamo SC. I know a lot of the fans were angry and upset about that. Let's focus more on the team and the players and winning on the field instead of what's going off. But, you know, if the players are struggling on the field, then anything that the front office is trying to do off the field, they struggle as well. And I know that this wasn't something that was decided just 6 months ago. It's been in the making for 2 years. So, like Tab said, they've got to make sure they establish the way that they want to play, and they've got to win, because as soon as they do that, everybody in the front office jobs are easier. But with what Tab said, I mean, you've got to remember that it wasn't that big of a fee for Mauro Minotas. So they're going to have to try and go find another diamond in the rough, you know, another Albert Elise, a Romel Kyoto when he first arrived, something like that. It's going to be interesting to see. All we can do is watch him wait.
Eddie Robinson joining us here. You know, look, I'm gonna put a disclaimer on. Be careful of the just winning and it all gets better thing. Okay, I'm gonna take you back to 2007, and I'm not specifically talking to you, Eddie. Just all of us as we converse here. 2007, the Dynamo won 90% of their games at home. It was an attractive product. It was athletic. It was fast. It was a little off the rails, which made it interesting and exciting. Didn't do anything to attendance. Did not move attendance at all. So this is a 6-7 pronged rebuild that needs to occur. And one part of it is, yes, you got to win, and it's only one playoffs in 7 years. And I think people don't understand that the fans' frustration is over an extended period of time. And that can fester and that can compound. And I think that's, you know, they don't want to suffer anymore. And you know, hashtags and all these things, I get it. They're a part of sports and they're important and the internet's important. Social media is important. There's so many other areas that have to be corrected, improved. And part of it is just, I think, realizing and being a little bit more transparent. And I love the transparency, by the way, that John Walker's come on, Matt Jordan came on, Tab came on. Tab's been fantastic for the transparency element and quotient of the Houston Dynamo. There's a lot of things that do, I think, have to change in a very big way, and it can be improved, and this can be the soccer city that we know it is, no question.
Yeah, no, totally agree. It's hopefully things are starting to move in the right direction, but again, we'll learn a lot more in the next 3 months, won't we?
Yeah, and Tab Ramos did make it very, very clear. He said, look, we need help on all different lines. We need more athleticism, and this is to play his system. And I give him a lot of credit because I was mentioning earlier in the show, Eddie, that Wilmer Cabrera wanted to play a pressing system with Kyoto and Elise, and it never came off. And you know this from doing all the games, and he turned it into a counterattacking team, which at the end of the day, you want it to be more than that. I love Tab's approach, and I hope he can get the players and the athleticism that he needs to make it work. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so, but here's the thing. I mean, you can have all the athleticism you want in the front three, but if the midfield three, if you're playing a 4-3-3, the midfield three have to be extremely intelligent. They have to be able to read the game three or four passes ahead and understand where they need to be, because it's so easy for the midfield to get disconnected from the attacking three when you're high pressing and leave gigantic holes in the midfield for transition for your opponent. So it comes down to not just athletic ability, but the intelligence of the three behind your forwards. And, you know, we'll see if you're going to play.
Yeah, but he made it specifically clear. We have to get more athletic in midfield and at the back, because in a 4-3-3 pressing system, when your pressure's broken, there are times you're going to have to defend numbers down. You're going to have guys that can cover more ground. The Dynamo certainly are going to need that. And I like the fact he's been upfront about it. Now, acquiring those players, that's a whole differing thing. I did notice that some of the free agents out there include Eddie Juan Agudelo and Kevin Molina. Would you be interested in any of those guys? You got 20 seconds.
I think those guys would just be depth players. I think they'd be depth players. And I think for the Dynamo, the number six has to be more disciplined. I don't think you need that much more athleticism in the midfield.
You got it. You have the last word. Eddie, thanks so much for coming on. Sitting through two segments. And, you know, we'll talk food in the next time you come on the show, because we do share that affinity. There's no question about that.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, Eddie. Thank you. Eddie Robinson, color analyst, also former Dynamo defender. Take a break here. Coming back with a lot more, including Arch Bell from Orlando on the CONCACAF Champions League.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.